The Word of God is just fresh. It's fresh to us every day. And we love the Word of God. But I was looking at this text where they had gotten in this boat, and the Lord had directed them in verse 22, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee." And it tells us that he fell asleep in verse 23 of chapter 8 of Luke. And then a storm came, a storm of wind upon the lake, and they were filled with water, and that they were in jeopardy. And they awoke him and said, "Master, we perish." And he arose and he just rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then he questioned their faith. But here is this storm that's come upon their life, and that's what I want to talk to you about, learning from this storm, the lessons of the storm. And as you look at this particular text, the things that I will say are very obvious this morning, but I hope that they will help us in this hour in which we're living. I feel like in many ways, I've been in a storm for years, many years, but here's this storm that they're in. They're very dangerous storms on the Sea of Galilee. They would come all of a sudden. Many people lost their lives in these sort of storms upon the Sea of Galilee. And you see, as you look in this text, that he took them into this storm. That's what we find in verse 22. "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. Here they are now in the storm, and they can realize, and we realize, that the Lord has taken them into this storm. He's taken his disciples, those that are learners. That's what the word disciple means. A disciple is a learner, one who's being taught by a teacher, being trained. And so he takes his disciples into this storm. These are his followers. These are not those that would not follow him. These are those that were willing to follow him. These are those that have left everything to follow him. Think about that. These are people that have turned their back on family, friends even. These are folks that have turned their back upon their livelihood, their careers. They've attached themselves to Jesus Christ. And yet he takes them into the storm. But these men are also leaders. These are men who are going to be left in charge of the Lord's church. These are folks that are going to be called upon to lead the church through great adversity. They will face the struggle with the Jewish brethren. They will persecute them and try to take their lives. They will face the struggle of Rome and its impatience with Christianity. And they will face the struggle of going to the ends of the earth, preaching the gospel. And I think it's something to realize. He takes his leaders into the storm. Not only that, you see as you look at the passage how he used the storm in their lives. Seems to me as I read this, I'm reading more than history. I'm reading a lesson. I'm reading something that the Lord is teaching me, something he's wanting to show me. Oftentimes the Lord taught by different ways and different means. He taught with parables. And he taught with sermons. But then he taught by object lessons and things they could look at and see and never forget. And it's obvious as you look at this passage that he has a purpose in taking them in this storm. He has something that they're going to learn in the midst of the storm. Every day is a learning day for a believer. But especially when God takes us through the difficult times, there's really something he's wanting to teach us. He's wanting to show us something. You look at this passage and he teaches them something about faith and resting. You notice this in verse 23. "And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And when they came to him and awoke him, said, 'Master, Master, we perish.'" Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased and there was a calm. Then notice verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Why didn't you believe? Where was your trust? Where is your faith? And look at the difference between them. Jesus Christ is resting. Jesus Christ is asleep in the midst of the same storm that they're panicking in. And when they do awake him, and after he rebukes the wind and the wave, his question is, where's your faith? As if almost that you can see in this passage, had their faith been strong, they should have been able to rest like he was in the midst of the storm. And Jesus Christ takes us in the storm to teach us. And one of the great lessons that he would have us to learn in life is to learn to rest in the storm. That to have faith in the midst of the storm. It's easy to believe, or at least to believe that you believe, when everything's fine. But it's the storm that tests your faith and tells whether you're really believing. It's what God does for you in a crisis that really tells so much about what God is to our lives or to your life. One of the things I've learned through the years, and I've tried to communicate it here, and it's something I'm learning more even myself in these days. Circumstances do never have to change for you to rest. That God Almighty has the power and the strength to speak peace to you in the midst of your storm. He has the power. To me, that's one of the great proofs of the Christian life. I get all worked up and I get all troubled. Instead of being troubled at circumstances and people and problems, I need to ask myself, why is it I can't rest in the midst of this storm? Dear God, aren't you able to sustain me? Aren't you able to lift me in my circumstances? You know what I found? I found that he's able to. I was preaching to the folks about Jeremiah at the nursing home Thursday. And he said in a passage there in the 15th chapter of Jeremiah that he took the word of God and he ate it. And it was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. And I'm thinking about Jeremiah. He said, I took the word of God and it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And he says, and I'm called by thy name. And I thought about Jeremiah. He's the weeping prophet in the Bible. Jeremiah was the man who didn't want to be a preacher, but he was. And he spoke of the word of God that burned within his heart when he tried to quit preaching. He said, I'm not going to speak his word anymore. There are people who are trying to kill him. There are people trying to imprison him. And here he is. He said, my eyes are fountains of waters. Over and over again, he weeps. Look at him in Lamentations. He weeps. And yet, I read that verse this week, and it burned in my heart. As I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, that he said, that I ate your words, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That in spite of all the burdens of life and the heartbreak of life that he experienced, he found that God was the joy and the rejoicing of his life, and the word of God was that to his life. And I thought, you know, we've experienced that as believers, haven't we? It is a reality that in the Christian life, at the same time, you can have a burdened heart and a broken heart. And you can have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And the world cannot understand that. And that seems like a complete contradiction. And it seems like an impossibility. But how many times in our life have we found that we had gotten along with God, and God had lifted our hearts and lifted our spirits, and yet our problem today was the same as yesterday? And tomorrow it will be the same. Life's burdens continue. They don't change much. One thing happens to all. Life has its burdens and heartbreaks. But there is peace that's possible in the midst of the storm. And if we don't come to understand that, we won't survive the storms of life. We'll never understand or survive ministry if we do not learn to have peace. Remember, Paul wrote to the Philippians. There in the fourth chapter, he said something most remarkable when you understand his circumstances. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to therewith be content. To appreciate that statement, you have to understand his condition. In Jerusalem, he was taken captive. He had gone through storm, life-threatening storm in Acts 27. He had ended up in Rome, a prisoner. And for 2 years, he had been imprisoned, unjustly. It wasn't right. He'd done nothing wrong. Even the king had known that he did nothing wrong. And that man then wrote to the Philippians from that prison experience and said, I've learned to be content regardless of where I'm at. Now, I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that Christ can give you peace in the midst of your storm. That it is impossible to live this life without storm. But there are those storms that he himself is going to lead you into. If you're his disciple, if you're his follower, if he's going to make you a leader, if he's going to use your life, he's going to do some things in your life. And he uses storms to do so. And if you do not learn to rest in those storms, if I do not learn to know his joy in the midst of sorrow, if I do not learn that his word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, as Jeremiah did, then the storm is going to take me under. The storms reveal your faith. That's the bottom line. It is only by faith. And faith is something that looks outside of yourself. Faith always has an object. Faith always has something that it's believing in, that it's trusting. And when Christ says, where's your faith? He's looking to, why aren't you trusting God? I'm on board this ship with you. Why didn't you consider that? Why didn't you think? What about what you believe now? I wondered if you couldn't put out beside that question the word now. Where is your faith now? Where's your faith now? Remember what the devil said of Job. He says, you take everything he has, he'll curse you. He only believes you for what you're giving him. But when he'd taken it all, Job retained his integrity, kept his faith in God. He could answer that question, where's your faith now? Where's your faith right now? Where's your faith when to deny Christ will save you? Or to stand up for Christ will take you to the fiery furnace? Where is your faith now? I don't know what your life is about. I know some of us from a church body, and I say us in a way of speaking. There's some folks going through some tremendous storms. Some have been through some. But the reality is that we never meet in this place. We never come to the Lord's house but where somebody is carrying a back-breaking burden. Somebody's heart is broken. You may listen to someone preach and you don't even understand what their life is going through. He taught them about faith and resting. But also he taught them about power and glory. Look there again. Verse 25. And they were afraid, wondering, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. The storm revealed the power and the glory of God to them. Notice it says they were afraid. A fear had come upon them. Not a fear of terrifying fear of the Lord. This is kind of a reverential fear. This is kind of a awestruck. Who is this? That even the winds and the seas obey his voice. And this is true, and you know this, brothers, sisters. In the storm, when you learn to rest and you learn the peace is possible in the storm, there is a glory that comes to your soul, that you have seen God's power to lift you up. One day this week, I experienced it in my own heart. He lifted my soul. And I was in despair. The storm. And then the sun, as it were, came out. And all the glory. It's like almost anybody I was with, I wanted to say to them, don't you see it? Don't you see his glory? Don't you see how good God is? And when he takes you to the storm, and you see his might and power and glory. I've never been through the storm, but what I wasn't thankful for it. I've never been through the valley, but what I knew how good God was. And I've never come through the storm, but what I didn't have to repent. I can't understand why I didn't trust God. Why I didn't believe him. Why I didn't just rely upon him. Why I didn't know. And that's what's happening here. Well, what manner of man is this? You could never have told me God was unfaithful this week. He lifted my heart. You couldn't have told me he wasn't real. And he wasn't good. Because he had brought to my heart power and glory. He uses the storm, is what I'm trying to say to you. He uses the storm to teach you about rest and faith. And he uses the storm to teach you about power and glory. Not only does he lead us into the storm and use the storm, but praise God, he brings us through the storm. I read verse 26 for those first three words. And they arrived. And they arrived at the Gadareans, the country of the Gadareans. He brought them through the storm. There are those passages of scripture that have been most remarkable to the church down through its history. Because of the language, but because of the truth that they teach. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is this great teaching, that nothing has the power to separate us from his love. And don't you love how he puts it? Because he enumerates a number of things, but then he finally comes down and says, nothing present, nor anything to come. Nothing that you can see, and nothing out there in the future. And here's this great teaching. He brings us through the storm. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He'll never allow us to be tested or tempted above what we're able, but with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. He brings us through the storm. You know, on the other side of this storm was a man, a desperate man of the Gadarenes. On the other side of this storm was a man possessed of demons. They called himself Legion. So many demons, nobody could help him. This man would bound with chains, but he broke the chains. He would cut himself and he's naked and nobody could help him. On the other side of the storm was a great need. There was somebody they were going to help. Far as I can tell, when you read this text, this is why they went. Because when you get back to verse 37, down to verse 37, it says that he went up into the ship and returned back again, the last line of that verse. On the other side of the storm was a great need. He took them through the storm to reach this desperate man. Think about that. He led them into the storm. He used the storm in their own lives. He brought them through this storm. He led them through this storm. He took them through this storm. Because on the other side of this storm was a desperate need. He doesn't take us through difficulties without reason. We believe in what we call the providence of God. We believe in the sovereignty of God. You know, the Bible teaches us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Everything in my life is orchestrated. Everything in my life is fitted together to accomplish God's purpose. That is the clear teaching of the Bible. He never does anything without purpose. I don't always understand His purpose. And I will say this to you, even after I've come through the storm many times, I haven't understood what He was doing. And sometimes I just have to say to myself, I know He had a purpose for that. And somewhere down the line, I may understand the purpose better. But you know what I have found? Most of the times I can tell in the storms the benefit and the purpose, the reason God did. I say, oh, I can see God did this for a reason. God has purpose in all that He does. And finally, I want you to look at this. Verse 37. After they've come to the land of the Gadareans and after He's cured the man they call Legion. The verse 37 says, and the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought Him to depart from them. And they were taken with great fear, and He went up into the ship and returned back again. That's most remarkable to me. I underscored that. Let's read that in this text. He led them right back to where they had faced the storm. He led them right back to where they'd almost lost their life and their own thinking. He had brought them through the storm. Okay, that's over. That's good. But he says, let's get in the ship. And I can imagine them saying, where are we going? We're going right back where we came from. He said, I can't imagine that, but that's exactly what he did. He took them right back through it. You ever follow people in the Bible and notice this in their lives? You ever notice God's leading, dealings? The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. We all know that. In Acts chapter 14, he went to a city called Lystra. And they stoned him. They carried him outside the city and they thought he was dead. They stoned him. And he got up. He left. He recovered. That's all in verse 19. Verse 21, he goes right back to Lystra. And I think that's the last city I'm ever going to again. I got more sense than to go back there. I've got more sense than to face that again. Okay, I took my medicine. That's done with me. But that isn't how it was. And Paul was a man constantly led of the Spirit. And you have to believe and know that God took him right back to that same place. He tested his faith. It was a great test of his faith, no doubt. But God had a purpose for that. I was reading in Acts chapter 5 today. about the disciples. They had preached at Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. In the third chapter, they go up to the temple, and there's the man that's lame from his birth, and they heal the man. A great persecution rises against them. They have prayer meeting, and they continue to preach the word of God boldly. In the fifth chapter, the leaders of the Jews forbid them to preach upon threat of their life. They imprison them. And you read the story there. God delivers them from the prison. Chapter 5. And then in verse 20, he says, now I want you to go right back to the temple. I want you to go right back there and I want you to preach the words I command you. You say, I'm going to stay away from that place. No, you just keep following the Lord. Understand, once you've determined, listen, once you've determined, he can bring you through the storm. And once you know, you can rest in the storm. And once you've experienced the power and the glory of God that lifts the heart of man, you can go back. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. You just have to trust his truth and his providence, his purpose. One thing I know, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus loves us. I know that because the storm of all storms he faced. During the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept until he prayed till the sweat became as great drops of blood. He was betrayed. He was tried. I was thinking about it this week. They spit in his face. They spit in Jesus Christ's face. I was thinking about it this week about it, and I was wondering if Satan didn't know what the cross meant and was provoking him to call the legions of angels. And I wonder if anything could have provoked him to call the legions of angels and to stop the whole process, spitting in his face. But he went to the cross. He endured great contradiction of sinners against himself. He bled and he died. He said, Father, forgive them. And he gave his life a ransom for us. And on the basis of that, I can tell you that he loves you. And I can tell you that he'll save all that will trust him. All that will repent of their sins, Jesus will save. All that will believe upon him. But I can tell you as a believer, as a disciple, as a follower, as one he's training to lead, that he loves you too much to send you into a storm that he's not able to bring you through. And if he takes you to the storm, he has divine purpose. He's faced the storm. He knows what you face. And he's able to deliver you. Could we stand together for prayer?